We know how to use masks and social distancing, quarantining and vaccines, but at-home testing is a newer part of our toolkit for slowing the spread of COVID-19. Starting this weekend, private insurers will have to provide up to 8 free tests a month to clients who request them and people who aren't insured to be able to get free tests at community health centers. But there's a lot of information out there on at-home testing, and it can get very confusing. So we're learning now how and when to use rapid at-home antigen tests for COVID-19. And we want to hear what you're thinking or wondering about at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about at-home COVID test kits? Have you been using them? How has it changed your ability to live safely during the pandemic? Are you confused about the timing, when you're supposed to use one of these tests? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Chana Davis is a geneticist and founder of the science information site Fueled by Science. She's also a contributing writer for Dear Pandemic. Chana, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get to some of the particulars, when and how we use these things, what are you seeing now from this new announcement from the Biden administration trying to make the tests more available in the first place?
Well, I'm thrilled to see this announcement because these tests have very much been underutilized throughout the pandemic, not because of interest, but because of lack of access. So it remains to see exactly how this will roll out, but I think it certainly looks like a very promising step in the right direction.
And before we, again, get into the particulars, how helpful a tool are these rapid tests? How big a difference could a regular usage and regular access make?
I think it can make a huge difference as long as people really have a deep understanding of both the strengths and the limitations of these tests. They can be problematic if they're misinterpreted, but they can be extremely helpful if they're used appropriately.
All right. Well, let's get into the strengths. First of all, what are the pros? What are the most useful elements of these tests when used correctly? And we'll get to that in a bit.
Yeah, their key strength is that they can give you an answer quickly at home. So they're often compared to PCR tests, which can give you, which take longer, but can detect a smaller amount of virus. So, you know, given the bottleneck in PCR right now, you know, a PCR test is the gold standard for telling you whether or not there's any trace of COVID in your body, but it's just not realistic for the whole country to be doing that on a regular basis. These have the potential to be available at scale and to be used on a regular basis for routine monitoring of whether or not you have COVID-19.
And you mentioned key limitations. What are those?
The key limitation is their sensitivity. So because you have to have a lot of virus in your body for these to give you a positive test, a negative test is somewhat inconclusive, a single negative test, that is. You really have to do multiple negative tests to really be sure you don't have it.
But the big thing is we can be pretty sure we do have it if we get a positive result. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. So when you're looking at any type of diagnostic or screening test, there's a metric called specificity, which tells you, you know, if you're getting a specificity tells you if you have a negative test, can you believe it? And sensitivity tells you, are you going to catch all the true positive cases? So these tests, they have about a 99% specificity, which means that only a small percent of the cases are going to be false positives. Now, there's a little bit of nuance here that I want to bring up because whether or not a positive result is a true positive or a false positive depends a lot on the context of that test. So when these tests were first rolled out in the summer when cases were low, if you use these on people with a very low risk of having COVID, they don't have symptoms, they're not in a high community situation, you could actually have more false positives than real positives. But if you're using them now, when COVID is everywhere, and you're using them on people that have symptoms, when you look at the whole set of positive tests, the vast majority of them will be true positives. And for that reason, a lot of places, including where I live here in Vancouver, are no longer requiring a PCR to verify a positive test. It's because your pre-test probability is high then that makes it even more likely that your positive is a true positive.
Talking to Chana Davis, geneticist, founder of the science info site Fueled by Science and a contributor to Dear Pandemic. We've talked to a lot of folks there over the last couple of years. We are talking about at-home rapid COVID tests, and you can get answers to your questions about how to use them, when to use them, what to do with the results. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Or if you have an experience to share using one of these tests yourself. Love to hear how it went for you, if you felt confused or if it all made sense. 800-642-1234 is the number, or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Let's bring out a caller now. Dennis is with us in Two Rivers. Dennis, hi.
Hi. I just wonder, if I'm out in public and I inhale some, if I inhale a virus, does that, and I test positive, does that just mean I've been exposed because there's a virus I've inhaled, or does that mean I'm infected with it? I'll hang up and listen.
Dennis, thanks for the call. Chana?
Yeah, that's a great question. So these tests, the rapid antigen tests, they will only turn positive if you have a really high amount of virus in the swab. So in this case, routinely in your nose. It's something on the order of a million virus particles. So if you have a million virus particles in that one little swab, you have a lot of virus in your body. So these rapid tests are thought to be a rough proxy of whether you're actually contagious. If you were just exposed, you would have a very, very, very small amount of your virus in your body. For the first few days after you're exposed, the virus is basically, you know, very slowly going through this process of incubating and taking over your cells, and then it explodes exponentially how much virus you have. So you will, what typically happens is it will be undetectable for a day or two, and then you'll, within another, you know, after that period, you'll have just enough virus that PCR can pick it up, and then maybe 12 to 24 hours later after that, you'll have enough for a rapid test to pick it up. And by that point, you are contagious for sure. And you may have been contagious before that as well. That's the tricky point.
Dennis, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. And Chana, that reminds me about the question of timing. So say you are at a school or a workplace, you get that notification, hey, somebody you are at work with today just tested positive for COVID. Do I rush and take that test right away, or do I have to wait it out a little bit?
Yes, it's really important to wait a little bit, especially with Omicron. Prior to Omicron, it was very common to recommend testing the day you have symptoms. You know, so there's two situations. There's a situation where you have symptoms, and there's a situation where you have an exposure. So if it's a symptom situation, the previous advice used to be test as soon as you have symptoms because you probably have a lot of virus at that point. With Omicron, it's actually looking like the viral swabs in your nose may not pick it up until a few days after symptoms, which is an important change to be aware of, particularly with the nasal swabs. So for a symptom situation, you might even want to wait a couple of days after your symptoms, and then even then test another day after your first test if you're getting a negative the first time. If it's an exposure, you'll want to wait a few days. So by PCR, and one of the early case studies showed that a lot of people were testing positive by day three after exposure, but for some people it takes longer. So you want to wait, I would say at least 3 days after exposure, and longer if you can, and just take precautions in the meantime. The longer you wait, you know, somewhere between the maybe up to 5 days would be your best chance that you can really trust the result, but it's a trade-off between having the information sooner and having a better chance of detecting that signal.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Cindy is with us in Poinette. Cindy, hi.
Hello, I have a question. I just heard her say that you had to take multiple tests if you were negative, but it sounded like if you had a positive, you were COVID positive. How many tests are you supposed to take if you're going to use the at-home ones to find that you're truly negative? And, you know, they're like $25 a piece for two tests. That's my question.
Yeah, Cindy, thanks for that call. Chana, in what circumstance would we definitely want to keep going if we've had that negative test?
Yeah, well, it's all about timing. So I think we we still need to see more studies on the exact dynamics of how these infections play out and what the timelines are. But we know from pre-Omicron that there's a lot of variation from person to person. So before Omicron came around, you know, a lot of people might take 5 days to turn positive, but others would take 10 days to turn positive, you know, by PCR. So there's not really going to be a one-size-fits-all answer. But the general message is that you want to test twice between days, I would say 3 and 10. Ideally, you'll test, maybe wait till day 5 to have a better chance of having a positive signal, and then test, you know, 1 to 2 days after that. If you've tested negative 2 times and the second test was after 7 days, then that's you're in pretty good shape at that situation. There will always be outliers, but that would be a reasonable recommendation.
Thanks for calling in with that question. We're talking to scientist and science communicator Chana Davis about at-home COVID testing. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you confused about how these tests work, when you're supposed to do them, what you're supposed to do with them? Call it now at 800-642-1234. Or if you're a pro at these things now because you're using them in your home or your workplace, love to hear your story. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk with scientist and science communicator Chana Davis about how to make use of at-home COVID tests. Insurers will have to provide those for free starting this weekend. You can join in with your questions, your experiences using these tests at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Chris is with us in Oconomowoc. Chris, hi.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you for taking my call. I feel like we all sort of have a variant of the same kind of questions, but here's my thought is that my wife and I have been triple vaccinated. Both our kids have been vaccinated as fully as possible. We all came down with symptoms within a day or two of each other, sore throat, runny noses, and whatnot, and took been using the at-home tests for several months now. Tested negative on the first day of heavy symptoms. Retook it 2 days later, and still negative. But I mean, I guess what you're saying is after 5 days is the ideal point to try to detect this. Because my question is like, I work in the public and I'm trying to decide the right thing to do, mm-hmm. you know, when going out, and you can't get a PCR test within 5 days these days nowadays.
Sure. And Chris, just to be clear, did you ever in these home tests get a positive test during those symptoms, or were they all negative?
They were all negative.
Okay.
And again, this is anecdotal, but like I talked to, you know, dozens of other coworkers and friends who had the exact same symptoms. Some tested positive, some tested negative. But I don't know if the level of vaccination you've had affects your viral load.
Chris, thanks a lot for the call. I heard Chris's story. What does it make you think? What do you want to let him know?
Yeah, no, unfortunately, that's a common scenario. We're hearing a lot of reports that people are not testing on the first couple of days after symptoms. So my suspicion is that, you know, if they had tested, waited more than 2 days after symptoms, then they maybe could have got the positive. Of course, you know, colds and the flu are still out there. So not everyone who has a sore throat has COVID right now. But just really important to for after they have symptoms. And I understand.
We're kind of losing our guest here. We're going to try to reconnect, I think. We're talking to Chana Davis, geneticist, founder of the science information site Fueled by Science, also a contributing writer for Dear Pandemic, answering your questions about COVID-19 at-home testing. There's more of them out there, maybe not as much as people want. Some new changes from the Biden administration looking to get more of these in the hands of individuals, of families, and to get a lot more to schools as well, raising lots of questions for people about when, how to make sense of these tests. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. While you're there, let us know if you've taken these tests, if you have experience doing them. How did it go? Did it all make sense to you, or was it kind of baffling, as it has been to many people? Don't be shy. You wouldn't be alone if that's the case. still working to reconnect with our guest, Chana Davis. We'll be talking more about COVID and COVID-related issues, of course, in the days and weeks to come. If you have a question about testing or anything related to COVID, let us know what is on your mind, and we can use it maybe to shape a future conversation. You can email anytime, ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. We've got Chana Davis back. Chana, thanks about, sorry about that. We're losing our connection there. You're responding to that story about testing when everybody had symptoms.
Yeah, so let me just share one of the recent preprint studies that came out. They found that in the first 2 days of symptoms, there was not a very good signal in the nasal swabs. They actually found, interestingly, a much stronger signal in the saliva than in the nasal samples. But after day three of symptoms, then the rapid test started to catch a lot of cases. When I said earlier day five, that's assuming you have, you know, some ability to wait that long. I think you can definitely get a very solid signal day three after symptoms, but you can be even more assured if you only have that one test. Maybe you want to wait a little bit longer to make sure you're not going to get a false negative. But you can certainly get a pretty solid read at day three after symptoms.
Let's go back to our callers now. Alan is with us in Madison. Alan, hi.
Hello. Now, this may be a bit of a naive question, but we're all using these tests. And we infect this little bit of liquid, you know, you put the nasal swab thing in the liquid and all, and we dump it. Is this bad for the environment? I mean, are we putting nature or animals or even ourselves in trouble? I mean, aren't you just supposed to dump it? But it doesn't seem like it's the right thing to do if it's, you know, full of germs.
Alan, interesting question. Chana, disposal of our COVID tests, especially if they're positive ones. Do we worry about somehow spreading the viruses that way?
Now, that's an interesting question. They do often include a biohazard bag, so I would recommend sealing everything up in that biohazard bag before you put it in the trash.
Alan, thanks a lot. A question probably a lot of people's minds as they use these. Thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. Aaron is with us next in West Bend. Aaron, hi.
Hey, how you doing? Question I have for you is specifically with your recommendation that if you can, you wait till day five with the testing. So there's just already a lot of anecdotal, just seeing it's like a coin toss as to what we're going to get from a test, you know, the first time positive, second time negative, whatnot, and back and forth. However, if we're going to wait till day five, that would almost have to be making the assumption that the possibility of having the Delta variant isn't a possibility for you, because you would have now waited too long if you actually had Delta. What do you think about that?
Ooh, Delta, Omicron, and test timing, Chana.
Yeah. Well, I think, again, we don't have enough really gory details on this yet, but I think the basic trajectories are similar. So what I actually have a time course from my son, who rapid tested him every day over the break, and he got Omicron on Christmas Day. So in his case, which is a fairly typical example, we saw a super faint signal the first day, which was actually only 48 hours after. So that was a little bit earlier than you might normally expect. But you see a really faint signal the day that the virus is starting to take hold, which will be a different day for different people. And then it will be strong for a good solid 5-6 days after that. You have a really, you know, maybe a 5-6 day really sweet spot where you're going to get a strong signal. And then for a few days after that, it starts to slowly taper off. So you'll see a faint signal for the next 3 days or possibly slightly longer after that. And for Delta and Omicron, I don't think it's really dramatically different. It's just shifted a day or so earlier for Omicron, this whole process.
Thanks for that call. I want to spend some time, Chana, on, okay, we've got our test at home. We've used it. What do we do with the information it provides? I mean, if we're just testing and going on about our daily lives with no change, I guess testing isn't going to help much. What do we do with the signals we get from the test, and how do we alter our behavior?
I think the key is to really take action on the positive tests, which there are a lot of. You know, we're hearing about the cases that were missed, but there are a lot of cases that have been caught. And so that's assuming that a positive test is a true positive. And then the second piece of information is if you're having a negative to be kind of view that with a grain of salt, especially if it's your first negative test, and to basically be acting as if you could still be positive at that point.
And with that, you mentioned that there was a positive test in your own household. And this is a big question for people. If somebody in my household tests positive, what can we do to try to make sure everybody doesn't end up with that? Could you take a minute to share the precautions we could take at home?
Sure. Yeah, you know, before when this happened to us, I sort of thought it almost might be futile and maybe we should just give up. You know, I've got a 10-year-old and 2 6-year-olds, and I thought, how on earth am I going to keep everyone separate? But what we did, and is commonly recommended, is to prioritize sleeping apart if you have the space to do so. And same with having a bathroom, a separate bathroom, you know, having the infected person use a different bathroom if at all possible. So we did both of those things. The third thing we did is to invest in high quality masks for everyone to wear. So we did not go as far as keeping my son in his own room the entire time, that which would be the utmost level of precaution. But for people where that's not realistic and young kids and so on, putting on high quality N95 or better masks is really goes a long way. So that's what we did. We spent time together on the main level, but we had my son sitting at a distance and we all wore the masks the entire time. Ventilation is also an extra layer, but it was really, really cold here, and we just didn't open the doors. We were really grateful. Apparently the masks must have done the trick.
Jonna, thanks so much for sharing this advice and answering our questions.
You're very welcome.
Jonna Davis is a geneticist and founder of the science info site Fueled by Science. She's a contributing writer for Dear Pandemic. She talked to us about at-home COVID testing.